Thank you very much, William, and it's great to be here, and it's always an honour to say a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew Barnes, who's just up singing there, has a habit of sending me cheeky texts, and he sent me a text today. He says, I hear you're testifying in Mockerfell tonight, make it quick. So the response was, it'll be faster than you're singing. Now, just to dispel any rumours, they haven't been infiltrated by the Mexicans. Mark McKibben is officially due in November. He did start in the middle of October, but nonetheless, God bless him, he's raising money for a good cause anyway. If you turn with me for a moment to Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15, just want to read to you to set things in context. And Joshua 24, 14, 15, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would bless us tonight. We thank you for the words that we were just reading. And we just pray that everything would be said would be of the Lord Jesus Christ, and none would be heard but Jesus only. Amen. It's great to join you tonight, and I thank God to have a testimony to give. As most of you know, my current responsibility is to look after health in Northern Ireland, and that means I have a lot of decisions to make. A lot of big decisions to make. I get some of them right and I get some of them wrong, but that's life. We do our best. But I want to just talk about the worst decision that was made on my behalf and the best decision that I ever made tonight. And Joshua was putting it to the people of Israel. Joshua was a great leader, an inspirational leader, a mighty man who'd led Israel into battle and took the land for the people. But Joshua was an inspirational leader, and the people were falling back. And he led it on the line to them, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And every one of you tonight will choose, before you leave this building, once again, you'll make a decision as to whom you will serve. I trust that it will be the decision with Joshua that for your house, you will serve the Lord. I thank God that I was brought up in privilege. You might have thought that the Putches were in Lords or anything like that. There we weren't. I was brought up in a privileged position because I was brought up by parents who knew the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and taught me from the earliest days that I needed to find him as my Savior. I can remember my mother teaching me the ways of the Lord. I can remember my father sitting on his knees at the bedside praying for us. And that was the environment that I was brought up on. Just to add to that, Adnante was a Faith Mission pilgrim. And if any of you don't know what Faith Mission pilgrims are like, they can fairly drum the gospel into you. But in any event, that's the environment that I was brought up in. I knew the gospel from my earliest age. And the best decision that I made was whenever I was 5 years of age, was to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And people will say, "Oh, goodness sake, how could a youngster of that age know what they're doing?" I can remember as clearly today what I'd done then. And that was the most important decision that I ever made. The reason that I had to make that important decision was because of the worst decision that anybody ever made, and that was for Adam and Eve. When they listened to Satan, whenever they defied God, and they went against God and brought sin into this earth, and all of us, as a consequence of Adam's fall, need to know Christ as their own and personal Savior. That is something that we cannot get out of. Because when they made that sin, when they committed that sin, immediately God promised us a Savior. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth as our Savior. And, you know, some of you tonight may be thinking, "I'm not a bad fella. I don't do anybody much harm." But if you're not a bad fella and you don't do anybody much harm, Why did God have to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer at Calvary, to take our sins on that cross? And it doesn't matter how good we are, and we may be really good people, but it's what you do with Christ that is important. And when you think of Adam and Eve, sin led to deceit, led to lies, led to murder. Think of the regrets that existed there. Think of the heavy heart Eve had when she looked upon her son Abel lying dead, having to bury him. Think of the regrets that Adam had whenever he looked on his son Cain. He'd raised a murderer and murdered his own brother, all because of sin. And ladies and gentlemen and friends here tonight, from that earliest point of Scripture, God's authority was challenged by Adam and Eve, and as a consequence, we must do something about it, and that is why I done something about it. As I grew up through school, I enjoyed my primary school very well, and it used to be great. We had a wee country school called Legacurry, and I knew all the tractors off by heart. Whenever there's a tractor coming down the road, I knew from the sound of the tractor who was driving that tractor, whose farm it belonged to, and everything else. And I used to always stand up and look out the window just to double check. The headmaster used to say, "Poots, if 11 plus is on the tractors driving past the windows, you'll pass in flying colours, but that, it's not, so sit down and get on with your work." And, I didn't really get on with the work. I did somehow manage to pass the 11 plus and get into Wallace. And I wasn't so fond of that. There was too many townies there for my liking. But nonetheless, nothing against townies, by the way, but nonetheless, it wasn't just as good as primary school. And, you know, I never backslid as a young person, but I didn't tell people very much that I was saved and that they needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that I regret. And that's just the way it was. Many young people are the same. There's many young people here tonight. And you know what? There's lots of reasons why you won't want to advertise the fact that you're a Christian. Will they laugh at you? Well, people will. Will they make fun of you? Will they sneer at you? Will they mock you? Yes, they will. That's the way of the world. But, folks, you do have to face that challenge in life. And you do have to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, I loved the tractors and the farming, and I couldn't wait to get home from school at night to help feed the calves and feed the hens, and we collected eggs before we went to school in the morning, all of that there, and it's always a good ethos to work hard, and we were taught that from an early age. So anyway, as soon as I could get left school, I left it and went off to Greenmount. And I was staying at Greenmount at nights, and Monday to Friday we stayed up there and then came home at the weekends. And there was a real challenge for me, because there was a load of lads, 16, 17, 18 years of age, and a lot of them were there, not so much for the learning, but for a good time. I can remember the very first day that we were there, the principal says to us, he says, "I was talking to a farmer last year, and he said his son was at Greenmount the previous year, and I asked him, did he learn him? And he said, yes, he learned two things, how to drink and how to smoke." Now, unfortunately, that was the case for a lot of young people. They went for a good time. And the challenge was to me, what was I going to do? Was I going to hide away and not tell people that I was a Christian? Not tell people that Jesus had saved me? He gave his life for me? And I took that decision, another very important decision, that I would take my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Best decision after getting saved that ever I made. Because you can't go about being a Christian and hiding your faith. You need to tell others that you're saved. You need to tell others that they need to be saved. And you need to encourage others. And you can't encourage others if you're not actually telling people that you have accepted Christ as your own personal Savior. And that was something that was absolutely critical and essential for me in my life. I remember going to the Scripture Union and our brother William coming and speaking to it. And a young lad who wasn't saved, who I was very friendly with, was really challenged by it. And subsequently, William was preaching in my own church in Hillsborough, at a gospel campaign, and I brought that young lad down to the gospel campaign, and he got saved at that meeting. And there was the Lord actually blessing us. Whenever you actually stood up and told others you were a Christian, you had a chance of winning people for the Lord. You'll win nobody for the Lord hiding your light under the bushel. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew that we're to let our light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. And you know what? We're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. And we can't do that unless we're actually taking our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, I talked about making a decision. There's another group of people who made a decision. And that was, you'll find in Luke chapter 23, that was whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was to be crucified. And they brought him before Pilate. And the Pharisees wound the people up. And what did they cry? Let him be crucified. Crucify him. Crucify him. And you might be saying to yourself tonight, well, I would never have said crucify him. I would never have done that. And there was a number of groups of people around at that time. There was those who followed Christ to the cross faithfully. Mostly women, I might add. But those who followed him to the cross faithfully. There was those like Peter who'd been following Christ but denied him. And others who followed afar off. That's where I was whenever I was at high school, by the way. Following but afar off. And then we had those who rejected Christ. And you might say, I wouldn't have said crucify him. But unless you accept Christ, then you must be rejecting him. There's no middle road here, folks. There's no middle ground on this issue. You either accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and say you don't need him as your Savior. And there is no middle ground to be had. And I would implore you tonight that you look to Jesus. You look to the cross. You look to Calvary. And Christ will do great things for you. God has done great things for me. He's given me wonderful opportunities in life that I never expected to have. I didn't follow the career path that I followed because it was something that I had desired to do. It basically just happened. But for some reason, I'm doing what I'm doing. And I believe that God has given me an opportunity to speak for him on many occasions that I wouldn't have had had I been still farming. But nonetheless, what is important in this meeting tonight is that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done so much for you, and it is important that we are faithful to him in everything that we do. And I implore you tonight to take Jesus as your Savior. Amen.